On this episode of The Playbook, I have Daniel Lebetsky, founder and executive chairman of Kind. And we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, the role of empathy in business and why knowing your purpose is a fuel for success. Remember, be kind and hungry and join me every week for The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host, David Meltzer.
I am so excited. This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and I have been waiting for this one because it's very rare I get a top executive entrepreneur, Daniel Lebetsky. Everybody knows this snack company, Kind, but I live my life like this man lives here. He is just accelerating and growing and sharing a vision. As you know, to empower over 1 billion people to be happy, you need people on earth like Daniel Lebetsky. Daniel, welcome to The Playbook.
Thank you, David. I'm very, very pleased to be here with you.
It's so exciting because, you know, I was looking back at you and I are the same age. You just look younger, but believe it or not, we're the same age. I was born in 1968 as well. We both went to small
school. How old are you?
I'm 52.
See, I'm 49C.
I love it. There's more kindness. You look it. So, but we, you know, we both had the same academic journey and then, you know, for that time in 1993 when you graduated law school to kind of transform your career from a traditional law career into being an entrepreneur and being the executive chairman of Kind now is the journey that I want to share with people, keeping an open mind and options. Going back, I'm sure there was a lot of pressure when you graduated Stanford Law School to remain as a lawyer for your career. And I would love for you to share how you formulated, you know, voting for what you wanted as your career unfolded and how you kept your options open.
Well, I think what's one of the interesting things to discuss is that I was the first kid in my family to graduate from college, let alone law school. And my mom finished high school, but my dad only went through third grade. Because then the Second World War started and he was in a concentration camp. So he only had a third grade education when he immigrated to Mexico and built himself from nothing. But you can imagine two immigrant parents that had never even understood the concept of college when they were growing up were very excited that their son continued that. And after college, I actually wanted to join my dad in business, and he encouraged me and my mom encouraged me for me to do my own thing and go to law schools. You know, the stereotype of the immigrant Jewish parents.
Doctor, lawyer, failure. That's what you got.
So yes, to your point, when I finished law school from Stanford and I decided that I wanted to do something else, my parents were very, very worried. And even 10 years into it, I was doing something I was very, very passionate about, but it was not a financial success, relatively speaking. I thought it was an incredible success, but life is very much about expectations. I, right after law school, had this idea to use business to bring neighbors together. And the common thread in everything I've done is probably connected to my psyche from being a son of a Holocaust survivor, is building bridges between people. So both through business and nonprofits, I've always tried to connect human beings and shatter stereotypes. So my first company was called Peaceworks, and it sought to use business as a force for bringing Israelis, Jordanians, Egyptians, Turks, Palestinians to trade with one another and to shatter those stereotypes, cement those relationships, and try to help use the language of business to foster long-term partnerships. And, you know, the concept was really good, but the execution was not. I was this confused Mexican Jewish lawyer selling sun-dried tomato spreads made by Arabs and Israelis. And just to give you a sense of how limited my marketing skills were back then, the first brand was called Moshe Pupik and Ali Mishmumkin's World Famous Gourmet Foods. And it was quite a mouthful. It contrasts a lot with Kind, just the four-letter word. So those first 10 years were a lot of lessons. I actually had a lot of fun. I enjoyed my journey a ton, but I had a ton of setbacks. You know, it was two steps forward, two steps back, two steps forward, two steps back. And our sales, when we launched Kind, were, we never broke through $2 million. And I could barely meet my team members' payroll. And sometimes I had to skip my own $24,000 a year salary. I paid myself $24,000 a year for the first decade, which was less than I could have made had I been an attorney. But I just loved what I was doing. I loved the concept of connecting people. And, you know, eventually it was gaining some traction, but then something would happen. When Kind was founded, Dave, it was one of the toughest years of my life. And it's very striking to me to think about it, that I, because I was this far away from throwing in the towel. I remember gathering around with my team at what was then our office on 21st Street. And we had just lost sales of $1 million because one company whose products we're importing started adding artificial ingredients. And so we had to announce it to the trade. And most of our sales were in the natural trade. So we lost that $1 million of hard-earned business. So we were just on the brink of doom. And we decided to do this ourselves. Do we launch Kind ourselves? And we went around the table, and you would have not faulted us after 10 years of efforts for just saying, all right, let's close this thing down and let's each of us go find a job somewhere else. And it was also a year when my dad passed away. And so it was emotionally very, very tough year for me. And it's fascinating to me that out of that darkness, one of the toughest moments, we gave this a shot, and then we figured things out. And all the mistakes we had made in the prior 10 years served us as a roadmap to try to figure out what not to do how to play a different playbook. And that helped make all the difference for Kind.
You know, what's so interesting is that part of your playbook, you know, I talk about a quantum memory that may occur when you have Holocaust survivors as parents, and, you know, what it means to be what you must be and to look, number one, with a different perspective on the world. And, you know, obviously I share many family and friends who are children of Holocaust survivors, obviously grandparents and great parents that were in the Holocaust, but they have, you know, this Viktor Frankl perspective of being able to find the light, the love, and the lesson, and the kindness in the most difficult situations. And then the second thing beyond that purpose and perspective is persistence. You know, there has to be that, you know, never say die attitude. And I always tell young entrepreneurs, you know, they say, Mr. Musser, what's the one thing? I said, don't quit. You know, you're not going to start where you want to be. There's no overnight successes. Daniel Lebetsky did not start out a multi-billionaire billionaire. He probably made no money for multiple years and was this close to quitting. But the difference is he didn't. And he kept angling until he learned enough lessons to have the hockey stick of those lessons occur. What is your perspective on that purpose and persistence that are so closely intertwined?
Well, you talked about Viktor Frankl, and, you know, he wrote, I think it's called The Search for Meaning or Man's Search for Meaning. And I do think that purpose fuels you like nothing else. And, you know, if you are out there to make money and your goal is to make money, I think you will be less successful in life than if you think internally, what really matters to me? Because money is a means to an end, but what gives you meaning? Because then that purpose can make you have more steadfast staying power, if it's authentic and it's real, than almost anything else. It can help you persevere and work harder because you believe in what you're trying to achieve. And it can be one of those mantras that you can recall when things are tough. So I think talking to yourself and understanding truly what matters to you, we don't do that enough in our lives. None of us do. I don't do. You know, with all these devices and all these stimulus, we're just so busy responding to the emails and the tweets and the texts and the stuff that we don't take enough time to really understand ourselves. And it's also uncomfortable sometimes because these are tough questions, but you need to break out and take those long walks and find the time for you to really understand what really fuels you and what do you really care about and what do you want to do in this world? What do you want to leave behind you? And I think that can help you a lot.
And you bring up a really important transition that I think people get confused with purpose and what they call their why. What you kept repeating was what. And what I suggest people do is to take inventory every day of your own values, personal, experiential, giving, and receiving. Because I think the formula that works for everyone is, number one, if you know your values every day, and don't be afraid of being a hypocrite and changing and growing and accelerating and learning from yourself and saying, I didn't know what I didn't know yesterday. I'm a different person with different values today. Yeah. But the formula really isn't, don't start with your why. I say, start with what you want according to your values, then apply the purpose or meaning to the what, and then this is where money ties in. And I think, I'd love your perspective on it. I think it's okay, money, you can see behind me, money doesn't buy happiness or love, but it's really important to me because after I know my what and my why, I need to know what do I need to receive in order to execute on that. And I think that last step, people are afraid to ask, or they're very good at giving, you know, and we're both kindness people. You branded yourself completely kindness. My favorite saying is be kind to your future self, do good deeds. And I'm gonna start using the kind logo in my be kind, give some extra promotion. But think about it. Most people don't even think of their what. They immediately say, my why is to help all these people in Africa or whatever it may be. But they forget the two most important parts. What do you actually want to do to do that? And two, what do you need in order to do that? And it's okay to receive that if that's your purpose. How do you intertwine the what, the why, and the receiving end? And where did those challenges or lessons reside for you?
Well, I completely agree with you that even though money is not what fuels me, I am very, very focused on executing well and kind. We, in our values, if you go look at our posters, I can maybe show you later, we talk about kind and hungry values. So the kind values are our team spirit, about we, not me, you know, thinking about each other, working together. And I'll talk about that more in a second. But the hungry is also very, very important. And it means be resourceful, we be entrepreneurial, have an ownership spirit and mentality. And you do need to make sure that you have effectiveness and profitability and cash flow positive and really benchmark your effectiveness, because otherwise nothing's going to matter if you don't have a sustainable business. You cannot have an impact if you're not building something that's going to last. So I definitely am about accountability and about performance. For me, what I like to push even further in your conversation from the why and the what is also the how. Because the journey is as important as the destination. And why I'm doing it is important. Where I'm heading is important. But how I get there, for me, I've been thinking about this topic a lot the last couple of years. Like, that journey is as important, if not more important. Because every single day, how you treat other human beings around you, every single day, how you treat yourself, to your point, and your family. And again, recognizing that we're all imperfect. We all sometimes lose our temper. We all, like, believe me, I work every day to, I should have been more patient with my team member or with my son. But so I'm not trying to sound like I'm the kind guy. Kind is in honor to my father, because it's about how he saw the world, how in the, you know, there's a quote here that I use in my office, that it says, in a place where there's no humanity, strive thou to be human, from Hillel, who was a rabbi in the, you know, 15th century or something. And for me, it reminds me of my father, how he survived the Holocaust. And in spite of all that darkness, he remembered that he kindness of others. And so kind is about doing the kind thing for your body by eating nutritionally dense foods and to your taste buds by being delicious, but much most important in honor to my dad, because of being kind to the world and all of us recognizing that we're, as far as we know, we're only putting this place for this thing. Maybe there's something after, but how do we want to make this a better world? And my dad had this personality where he was living on borrowed time, because he felt that after surviving the Holocaust, the rest was just, you know, at least a bonus, like you said. And so he spent his time trying to make people happy. And so if he was in a dinner table and the waiter or waitress was in a bad mood, he would start telling them jokes till they would crack a smile. And he just, you know, treated everybody with dignity and kindness and as equals. And so that's very much what he inspired. But going back to your question about the why and the where, for me, the how we get there, because if we're every single day living the how with integrity and respect and authenticity and with best intentions, you've already made it. You've already won. Because if every single day you're living the way you aspire to live with respect, whether you build this or that or that, your journey will give you so much satisfaction. So that purpose connects to the how. If you know what you where you're trying to head and how you're trying to get there, you have far more likelihood of having that financial success, but you certainly have more likelihood of finding that fulfillment.
And that's a great illustration of one of my favorite lessons of enjoying every day, the consistent without quit, persistent pursuit of your own potential, right? And I will tell you this, from the description of your father, he would be someone that I would like to have on my team. My life's mission is to empower over a billion people to be happy. And I don't know what in my life has shifted or changed to allow me to even hit the realm of your father's perspective of what he had to endure in order to shift his paradigm in such a direction. So it really inspires me to think, wow, you know, what I'm doing, other people share somehow inherently in their being. Last question real quick. As you know, kindness is truly not only the theme of your company, of you, your family, but my family and my mission as well. I think it's the simplest way to change the world. If we just, every situation would look upon with kindness, like the waitress that's having a bad day or, you know, some difficulty or challenge, kindness is a cure. What are your tips for people to be kind?
David, since you said this last question, can I answer that, but also share another thought?
Anything, yeah, as much as you want. I was being respectful of your time. You can stay all day with me.
So, you know, I think we're living in an age and in a day where a lot of us are very judgmental. There's so much pressure. There's so much tension on all of us as human beings. And I think the most important thing that I'm trying really hard to do is to try to put myself in other people's shoes and try to not judge unless I have really walked through those shoes, which, you know, by definition, we haven't, because we haven't lived other people's lives. We don't know where they're coming from. So our entire society, whether you're blue or red, whether you're, you know, urban or suburban, or we need to all of us be a little bit more empathetic. We need to understand that 99% or maybe 90% of population are people that mean well and that are good human beings, and just give people the benefit of the doubt, assume best intentions, try to be forgiving, try to be less judgmental. It's not easy, because sometimes you see stuff in the news that drives you nuts, like, this is horrible. And we're living through a time where there's just so much polarization and division. So it's very hard for us to see the other side, particularly when you see things that are really, really, really wrong. All the more important for us to try to just recognize there might be another side to the coin, and that we need to be more critical thinkers, more critical listeners, more empathetic in our conversations with, particularly those that we disagree with, because we're going to achieve more. Forget about being nice to the other side. We're going to be more successful if we're better to understand them. We might bring them along our way more. They might understand us better. So I think it's a very, very important thing for all of us in society. The last thing that I want to say, David, since you're kicking me out so quickly, is, you know, I love the title of your podcast, The Playbook. I think we need to also think about the toolkit, because the playbook, which, you know, I certainly learned what Peacebook shouldn't do, and when I did kind, following certain things helped me a lot. But in the age of COVID, where so many rules are being thrown out, we need to try to think about how to focus more on the toolkit than on the playbook. And what do I mean by that? You know, what kind did 17 years ago, or even what we did 3 years ago, it's no longer relevant, because the world has changed so much. So you need to develop your own playbook. You need to learn from other people's lessons, but you need to understand that you need to apply a lot of critical thinking, because the world has changed. Second, when you're a sports guy, when are the best playbooks? when they have an element of surprise. So if you just take somebody else's playbook and play it yourself, it's going to lack that element of surprise. So you have to adapt it and provide it credibility and make it your own to really, really differentiate yourself. So you have something different and fresh. And, you know, the toolkit is a very, very important thing for us to think about today, because having a critical eye to think about where those opportunities are, there's so much disruption. With that disruption, there's so many opportunities to create new value. So being a critical thinker, being a critical listener, handling yourself with integrity, attracting people into your team that you're going to trust, that are going to be loyal to you, all those values, all that mindset of being about a team, not about selfishness, about resourcefulness, about, so those mindsets, those skill sets, those ways, those values are very, very, very important today in an age where there's so much disruption and so much opportunity.
It's so interesting you brought up the toolkit, because most people see Kind as a snack company, and yet it's truly a construction company, because Kind is building bridges to bring everyone together through an organization internally and externally. And what a great playbook and toolkit to follow. And just such a pleasure to have you on here. I look forward to doing more with you, Daniel. You really have, what they say in the podcast world, drop some bombs on all these people, and they should go back and listen, because I know I will. You're an inspiration, and I appreciate true compassionate capitalists like you that are making and bridging our future and bringing us all back together with good tasting snacks as well. So thank you so much for joining me. This is Daniel Levetsky with David Meltzer here on Entrepreneurs, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.